From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his second in a series of messages expounding one of the most blessed passages in the Old Testament Scriptures, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. The theme of the chapter is the humiliation and exaltation of Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled, Return from Backsliding. The text is found in Job chapter 22, verse 23. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Eliphaz, in this utterance, spoke a great truth, which is the summary of many an inspired scripture. Friend, has sin pulled you down? Have you become like a ruin? Has the hand of the Lord gone out against you, so that in estate you are impoverished, and in spirit you are broken down? Was it your own folly which brought upon you all this dilapidation? Then the first thing to be done is to return to the Lord. With deep repentance and sincere faith, find your way back from your backsliding. It is your duty, for you have turned away from Him whom you profess to serve. It is your wisdom, for you cannot strive against Him and prosper. It is your immediate necessity, for what He has done is nothing compared to what He may do in the way of chastisement, since He is almighty to punish. See what a promise invites you. You shall be built up. None but the Almighty can set up the fallen pillars and restore the tottering walls of your condition. But He can, and He will do it if you return to Him. Do not delay. Your crushed mind may quite fail you if you go on to rebel. But hearty confession will ease you, and humble faith will console you. Do this, and all will be well.
Thank you.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. Recently, Dr. Cairns commenced a series of studies in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Dr. Cairns began these studies with verses 13 through 15 of chapter 52, which speak of the humiliation and exaltation of Christ. Today, he continues his exposition of chapter 53 and verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We've seen that the gospel is a report. That is, through the revelation of Scripture, God has shown Christ to be the only hope of mankind. This report concerns man's eternal destiny, which makes it of utmost importance. Then it comes from God Himself, which stresses its infallibility. Because it is backed by the power of God, this gospel report is invincible. Now to continue this message called The Rejection of the Gospel, here is Dr. Cairns.
Truly, we may lament, who hath believed our report? That lamentation has a good cause. When you stop to think of it, the honor of Christ is clouded. That's what the prophet's lamenting about. The honor of Christ is clouded. The glory of the gospel is veiled. The joy of the church is diminished. And sadly, we find that the souls of sinners are lost. Who hath believed our report? There's good cause for lamentation at the state of spiritual apathy and deadness we find today. But you know, the text not only sets before us a lamentation, but thank God, a note of hope. It points the way to recovery. Who hath believed our report? What is the answer to that? Programs? New methods? I'm not altogether a fool of new methods. I think if Paul were here today, he would use the electronic age the best he could to reach the gospel to the souls of men and women. But that would only be a side issue. What is the real answer when few there are who believe or even seem to care? The answer is in the arm of the Lord revealed. And thank God this text, therefore, points us as we lament to the one who sits upon the throne, gets our eyes on the God of glory, instructs us to cry for the revelation of the arm of the Lord. You'll find that there is this great prayer indeed, even in this very prophecy of Isaiah. Verse 9 of chapter 51, "Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord." That's our prayer. If we would see God work, then God's the one we have to ask. If we would see the gospel prosper, then we ourselves must invoke the power of God, and we must be before the Lord to cry that He will awaken with the strength of His right hand, and that He will move in great grace, in great glory, and in great power. Thus the text is not all black. And yet, as a picture of the souls of men, it surely is black enough. The great theme of the text is quite simply natural man's rejection of the gospel message. And I want us to outline the three leading thoughts that the prophet lays before us as we think of this rejection. First, he speaks of the scriptural report of the gospel. Who hath believed our report? It's a very interesting designation of the gospel. Then he speaks of the sinful rejection of the gospel. And in that reference to the arm of the Lord, he speaks of the saving revelation of the gospel. Now let's start with the scriptural report of the gospel. It's an interesting designation, a very, very important one. The gospel is a report. The idea behind the word report, according to the marginal reading, is doctrine. But the idea, even more basically, is that which is heard. It comes from the word that simply means to hear. The report is that which God causes us to hear. Now, every report comes from a source. The source of this report is not the prophet, but the source of this report is Him, or the God who sent the prophet. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 3 verse 12 spoke of the source of this report when He spoke to Nicodemus, and He spoke of heavenly things. This report then is a message that comes from heaven. When men hear the gospel, they are not hearing the well-worn or well-thought-out theories of men. You know, it doesn't matter what I think, it doesn't matter what you think, it doesn't really matter what this church teaches, it doesn't matter what some council of theologians have dreamed up, it doesn't matter what philosophy men have produced. Men may well be wrong. But when you deal with the gospel, you are dealing with what God says. The source of the report is God Himself. The theme of this report is Jesus Christ as God's way of salvation. This is what we noted when we looked at chapter 52 from verse 13 onwards. The great theme of the gospel is God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. The great message of the gospel is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christ set forth in the gospel is shown to us as God's answer to every need of the sinner. Christ, Paul says, is our wisdom. God has an answer to the mind of the flesh, the philosophy of the flesh, the perverted reasoning of the flesh, the depraved and corrupt thoughts of the flesh. God has the answer to the folly of the carnal mind. And what is it? It is Christ. Man, you can't think straight until you have received Jesus Christ. Then he says, Christ is our righteousness. Christ is God's answer to the guilt of our sin. Men the world over, be they black or white, Christian or heathen, they are struggling with guilt. That is the common denominator of the human condition, the guilt of sin. And all across the world today, men are laboring to offload their guilt. That's why they are following various religious exercises. That's why they will pay any money, they will do any penance, they will bear any pain in order to get rid of guilt. But there is no way for a man to get rid of his guilt unless it is taken away by Christ. There's none can take away the guilt of sin except the one who is made by God our righteousness. Then he's our sanctification. In other words, God in Christ meets the need of sinners to have the power of sin broken. Who can break the chains of sin? Who is it that can snap the fetters that bind men? What power on earth can enter into a sin-wrecked life and wipe out the past, give power for the present, and hope for the future? None but Jesus Christ. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. Thank God his blood avails for me. And of course he's made unto us redemption. The redemption of the body speaks of the day of resurrection. It speaks of the day when body and soul we will be perfected in the likeness of Christ and in the presence of Christ. Without Christ, the only future a man has is hell. Without Christ, the only eternity a soul has is outer darkness under the wrath of a sin-hating God. But in Christ and with Christ, he has eternal redemption. That's the theme of the message. This scriptural report not only has a heavenly source and a Christ-centered theme, but it has certain great characteristics. There are some reports that you hear that, well, you can take them or leave them. They're of no particular significance. But the thing that stamps this report is its importance. It's dealing with the weightiest matters upon which God can speak to man. It's an important message. The man who lightly dismisses the gospel, lightly dismisses his own soul and its eternal welfare. The man who lightly deals with the gospel is playing the fool of all fools. Better to dismiss any other subject under heaven than the subject of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is an important report. It is also an infallible report. Peter could say that we did not follow cunningly devised fables. My, that's a wonderful truth. Peter did not even come to them on the authority of the glorious revelations that he himself had seen. Peter's saying, you need something that's more certain than my interpretation of a vision. You need something that comes with the infallible stamp of eternal deity upon it. This report of the gospel is infallible. What is this report of the gospel? It is this blessed book, Genesis to Revelation, inspired of God, inerrant, infallible, to the very greatest degree. And in this blessed book of God, where God gives us the gospel, he is giving us that which is without error. There's no room for doubt. Not only no room for doubt, there is no room for argument. This is not a book that comes to you and says, here is a gospel, now think it through. Prove it like some geometrical theorem. That is not the case. This is a book that comes to you with the stamp of God upon it that says, bow and bend, receive and accept, and you will be saved. It's infallible. And thank God, there's a very precious thought in this idea of the report. A report necessarily deals with things that can't be seen. If you could see the thing for yourself, you wouldn't need a report of it. The report speaks of that which is invisible. When you look at the gospel, it speaks of the unseen God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, you find it speaks of an unseen Savior. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18 speaks of the things which are unseen but eternal. And when you think that the emphasis of the gospel is upon the unseen, after all, you have never seen a sin. Oh, you've seen the results of sin. You've seen people in the act of the commission of sin, but you have never seen a sin, just as you've never seen a thought. You have never seen grace. You may have felt it. I trust God you have. But you've never seen grace, you've never seen God, you've never seen Christ, you've never seen redemption. These are things that are unseen, but they are real. And this report of the unseen thing is preached to you, demanding to be received by faith. Men are bound to the realm of the visible. Men are bound to the realm of that which their physical senses can relate to. But I tell you, the gospel of Jesus Christ would lift you to the realm of the unseen God, the unseen Christ, and the unseen things of his gospel. I call upon you to receive this report by faith. Thank God this gospel has the characteristic of being invincible. Ultimately, it depends not on the preacher, not on the money that the church can raise for the spread of missions. Those things are important. But it depends on the arm of the Lord. When the Church of Jesus Christ has forgotten that, it has always gone into apostasy.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.